Good morning.
It's Sunday, the 17th of May, 2020. And sitting out in Fermanagh. Sitting out in the car in Fermanagh. Looking at the lovely countryside. It's a bit cloudy today. Maybe not as breezy as others. A bit colder. But still a nice day. And it's lovely to be able to be outside. It's lovely to be able to appreciate what God has given us. And yet at the same time, as I look at that, I just think about what I've been saying. Is that even though this is creation, it's corrupt. It's not as beautiful as whenever God created it. Because when God created everything in the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. And not just the Garden of Eden, but the whole world. He put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, which was part of the world, but it was all perfect. Because the fall, when it came, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the garden, it wasn't just man and mankind that was corrupted whenever sin came into the world, but it was the whole creation. Everything was corrupted. Everything. So as beautiful as things are that we look at, they're not perfect because they've been affected by the fall. Just a thought as I'm sitting here, just a thought as I'm thinking about the things of God. The reading for today is from John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verses 15 to 21. Jesus is speaking and he says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Here ends the reading of God's word. Just as I read that, my eyes were drawn to verse 17. But let me read verses 16 and 17 again. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus again is talking to his disciples. He's talking to those who believe. And the Bible is written to and for believers. Obviously, yes, the word of God is for everyone. But it's only for those who will believe. It's only for those who will see him. It's only for those who will know him. As it says here in John chapter 14 verse 17. "The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him." That sounds hard and harsh. And we sometimes find it hard to understand that. But there are essentially two groups of people in the world. There are those who are believers, who are born again, who know God, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who know the Father, who know the Holy Spirit, who maybe have the knowledge and the information that the Holy Spirit lives within them. And as they read the Bible, as they meditate on it, as they have their mind renewed, they come to greater knowledge and revelation of who God is. But the other group of people don't know him. They can't see him, and they don't know him, the Spirit of Truth. And so they don't live in truth. And actually, as it talks about in John chapter 3, is that they actually love the darkness. Let me go back to John chapter 3. And let's look at that. Verse 18, he who believes, John chapter 3, verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus speaking again, John chapter 3, and here in John chapter 14, verse 17, verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him. And then it ends with, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So there's two groups of people. Those who believe and love the light and are drawn to the light. And those who hate the light and love to live in darkness. And so we should be aware that that's what's going on in the world. And the thing too that's very important in this particular passage is back in verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now there are people who try and keep the commandments. There are people who try and live good lives and nearly godly lives. And it's in an effort by their own good works that they will be acceptable before God. That they can see, can you not see that we love him because of what we do? And that's the wrong way round, because the thing is, we come to him because he first came to us. We come to him because he first loved us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for us whenever we were good. Christ didn't die for us whenever we had got our lives sorted out and we were the best. Christ died for us when we were sinners. Christ died for us when we weren't even looking for him. God poured out his blessings and his goodness and his love and his favor upon us when we weren't even looking for it. You see, salvation is a gift. It's a free gift. It's the gift of God's goodness and grace. Because we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved because of God's goodness. But we receive the benefits of that, and the benefits is eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord, whenever we believe and receive what he has done for us. You see, the difference is with those two groups of people again, is that the people that live in darkness and don't come to the light and reject the light and don't know the Holy Spirit, don't want to receive that free gift. They want to be accepted by their goodness. They want to be accepted by the great things that they do. and they will not humble themselves and freely receive the gift of eternal life. And that's where we are different, because we accept the gift of eternal life. And so we realize that God loves us, and we end up loving him back. But he loves us first, and we love him back. And because we love him and he loves us, we will find him working in our lives. And as he works in our lives, we will find ourselves obeying his commandments. And so as Jesus says there, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the point is, do we love him? And we do. And we will find ourselves keeping his commandments better accidentally than we ever tried to do on purpose. Because before we knew him, we tried to keep his commandments. We tried to keep the law, but all it did was make us more aware of sin. But when we come to him and we realize that he loves us, we realize that he's forgiven us, we realize that Jesus had his back opened by the soldiers' whips and hung on a cross for us because of his love for us. When we realize that and we come to him and accept the gift that he's given us, we find ourselves obeying him. We find ourselves keeping his commandments because of his love, because of his acceptance for us. And that is powerful. That is mighty. And Jesus goes on in John 14 and verse 18, where he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's going to come back for us. Because no, we're not orphans. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. But he will come to us again. Echoing what was at the beginning of John 14, which is what we heard last week. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He doesn't leave us as orphans. The promise is he will come back to get us. And yes, we're about 2,000 years on, or almost 2,000 years on, since Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. But he's coming back, and we know that he's coming back because he said so, because that is the truth. And that is the truth that can be relied upon. Jesus said, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. And where is he right now? He's on the right hand side of the Father in heaven. As it says in Ephesians 2 verse 5, we have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies. And I spoke a bit about this last week. We, yes, are living in this world. I'm sitting in my car looking out at the countryside, looking out at the weather. But at the same time, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. I'm seated on the right hand side of the Father because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And even though I can't see that with my physical eyes, I know that to be true in my spirit. I know that to be true in my heart. That I'm in heaven. I'm already with him. That's my home. Here on the earth, here in Fermanagh, is not my home. This is just somewhere that I live right now for my body. But I live with the Lord and he's with me. And the more I can identify with that picture, the more you can identify with that picture, the more it brings peace and rest into our lives. Because we're focused on heavenly things rather than focused on earthly things or coronavirus. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And whatever things you're thinking upon is who you are. If, like me, even in a little bit, you can think about where you are seated in heaven, where you are seated in Christ, where Christ is in you, those thoughts, those truths will change the way you see yourself. It'll change even the way that you look at coronavirus, because you'll actually forget about it, because it's not important. Am I saying that people aren't dying? Yes, they are, and that's terrible. But there's a greater reality, and that's Jesus. And my protection and my faith and my trust is in him. And so I can then think about Psalms like Psalm 91, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is true for me and can be true for you. And it goes on and says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my strength, he is my God, and him I will trust. And that is true, and it's good to say that, not just hear those words, but go and look up that psalm and read it for yourself and speak out those words. Don't just speak them in your heart. Speak them out of your mouth. Declare them. Because you believe them. And if you struggle to believe them, declare them all the more. And you'll get to believe them more and more. It'll strengthen in you. Because of what it says, I will say. It doesn't say, I will think. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him I will trust. And all the promises that come along with the rest of Psalm 91 are ours. And read through them and claim them. It's like another great psalm that we all know. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. So why should we be worried about whether we've got jobs or not? I shall not want. Why? Because God is my shepherd and he will provide for me. Why? Because he's told me he will. And I can trust in that. I believe him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. For sheep, that's wonderful, because like I'm looking around at the fields and the grass is long, and you put sheep in there and they will be just so gloriously happy because there's plenty to eat. And that's the picture. He brings us into green pastures because we are referred to as his sheep. Psalm 23, John chapter 10, as his sheep. And he looks after his sheep and he calls his sheep by name. Just like here, he calls his disciples and he's speaking to his disciples, those who believe in him and follow him by name. He knows them and he's not going to leave them as orphans, but he will come back for them. He will come back for them. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's not actually leaving us even now. Yes, he's going to come back for us, but he's not leaving us now, because Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus. And Jesus and the Father are in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in them, and the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus is still with me. He walks with me and he walks with you who believe. He walks with you and is in you. You are not alone. You have not been orphaned. You can no longer see him with your eyes as he's speaking to the disciples. But as he says, just as I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and you will know it. Why? Because they get the revelation of the truth when the Holy Spirit glowed within them, as it were, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They would know him. They would know him. Truly. And so this is a great word of encouragement. As it says in John chapter 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we do love him because he loves us. And we respond to his love. And we do keep his commandments. And we do focus on him and think on him. And we do lift our eyes to him. And it ends then in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. We love God because he first loved us. And because we love God and he loves us, we, through his strength, keep his commandments. Because he keeps his commandments, as it were, through us. And we know him, we know the Father, we know the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is real to us, is made manifest to us. Because we have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, living within us. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells. Wherein he dwells. Make sure that you are of the correct group. That you're not those who love darkness, but rather you are those who cling to the light and come to the light. And be encouraged. Know that he who is God loves you, and he is love. And he loves you so much. And as you love him back and live in him, know that he lives in you. You're never alone. And even though you're never alone, he still will come back to take you to be with him where he is. Whenever he comes in that second coming. So Father God, we thank you for today. I thank you. I thank you for your word of encouragement. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love all the people that are listening to this sermon. I thank you that you bless us richly. I thank you for the free gift of eternal life in and through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And it's a gift. I can't earn it. I can never, ever, ever do enough to earn it. I've got, as it were, surrender my life and say, Lord, I believe, I receive. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for being in me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you that I am with you now and forever because of your gift, because of Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.